Mr. Casello?
Here.
Mr. Gehring?
Here.
Mr. Wallace is not here. Mr. Reynolds?
Here.
We have a quorum, sir.
We have a quorum. Good. Thank you. Now we'll go out to public comment. Is there anyone that would like to make a public comment on any issue that is not on the agenda that is under the purview of this committee? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the committee. The meetings of January 19th, 2006 have been submitted for approval. I trust everyone has had a chance to look at them. I've read them over. Not being here, I'll have to leave it to you.
I move we accept the minutes of the January 19th meeting.
I'll second it.
Okay, I have a motion and a second under discussion. Dean?
Yes, a couple of corrections I would like to introduce, please. I did note that somehow Mr. Reynolds' name got spelled wrong within the report. I will correct that, make sure that's done properly. Strafe Zanartu from the Public Works Financial Division has noted that there were two changes that she was incorrectly quoted on. In the report, if I could just read those, I will correct them in the minutes. Under on page 4, under the plant upgrade finance status discussion, where it states the least expensive option for payment of the upgrade costs, it should have stated it has the least amount of interest expense and that the SRF has the greatest economic benefit. On page 3, under the second quarter budget status review, where it states that it is anticipated that this trend regarding the expenditures will continue, and the minutes that says efficiencies in the water treatment operations at this site will continue, it should state, and I will change this, it should state it is anticipated that the non-routine O&M will be fully spent by June 30th, which is primarily due to the timing of the pigging project. Once again, the Zone 3 operating expenses do appear to be very much in line with what has been budgeted. Those are the corrections to the minutes.
Okay, I'll ask the motion maker if he would take that into consideration.
I will move that we accept the minutes as amended.
And the second?
Yes, I second that also.
Okay, any other comments from the board? Hearing none, I'll ask for a vote of approval for the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Okay, let's go on to the Lopez Recreation Status Report. This is not Don Mellon, I can tell you that.
Who is that?
Please come up to the microphone. I'm just going to grab it.
Hi.
State your name, please.
I'm Kristen Brewster, a park ranger out at Lopez Lake.
Welcome.
Thank you. critical incidents that in the past month, had basically two minor incidences. First aid. Fishing, trout fishing has been reported as excellent. The California Department of Fish and Game continue to plant monthly. The county park has also sponsored Lunker plants through Calaveras trout plants in their that began on January 12th, and they'll continue throughout the winter and the spring. Bass fishing has been poor, and the panfish are kind of disappearing under the water to stay warm. Interpretive events and special events, monthly interpretive events are happening now all the way through the year. Projects, the staff has been focusing on infrastructure repair, so tables, fire pits, signs. Hazard tree pruning has been completed. The California Boating Ways, Boating and Waterways grant has been awarded to Lopez Lake and will involve the paving of the marina lot and replacement of the launch docks and courtesy docks. This project is the engineering stage, and work will begin in April with the project timeline of completion date in May. The special events that are upcoming, well, we just had the the collegiate triathlon on the weekend of the snow. That was interesting. We had an alcohol night hike on Saturday night, also on the 11th, and had about 13 people show up, half of which were residents, half of which were campers, so that was kind of nice. We had a kayak tour that got rained out, and we have the kids fishing clinic tomorrow, so we're looking forward to that, on Saturday. Period in lake level, February 1st, 2006, 71.95%. and in 2005 of February 1st was 62.31%. Revenue, February 2006, $77,811.50. In 2005, it was 55, so we have gone up. And attendance again in February 2006 was 16,245, and 05 was 11. Any questions?
Any questions from the committee?
Yes. Question. Thank you for a nice report. It's curious to me that the attendance and the revenues also are up so much from last year, and I was trying to think of why that would be. I don't think the weather was a particular issue, was it?
We had that couple weeks of 80-something degree weather, and as soon as the weather gets nice, the influx of campers.
So that couple weeks of really good weather more than made up for the couple weeks of snow and other events like that.
Yeah, a lot of people come in. Plus, there's a definite noticeable change or an increase in people recreating nowadays, and it's slowly progressing. So.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, any other comments or questions, Tom? Everybody okay? Thank you. It's a very good report. I appreciate it. You know, since recreation is getting so prevalent now and it's such a good thing, what we ought to do is freeze the income right now that's going to the county, and then we should get everything that above that from here on out. But that probably is not going to happen.
What is your name, sir?
Okay, operations report. Dean, please.
Sorry, got it. I provided you a updated operations report before the meeting. It includes January and February. We did have some discussion at the Technical Advisory Committee meeting earlier this month about a different way to present some of this information. Mr. Wallace asked for that. I looked through the report, and as best I could understood, he wanted to be able to quickly and easily see the monthly water production and water usage. I believe those are in this report, and I didn't get to clarify with Mr. Wallace what he wanted. I did talk to several people about this report and the format, the dates, the water year, the rain year, the state water year. Some of those are under our control, some of them are not. The format and the data was developed over quite a long period of time, so I'm somewhat reluctant to change very much of it. If it's all right with your committee, I will call Mr. Wallace between now and the next TAC meeting and find out specifically what he was looking for and bring back recommendations to you, if that's okay. I believe it's all in here. As I said, I started looking through it in detail, and there were some concerns about the different timing of the years, the rain year, the water year, the state year. I might initially just suggest that we use the rain year as the same as the Lopez water year, because that's pretty consistent in all communities and agencies. To go from April 1st to March 31st, that rain year seems to work out well. But again, until we discuss that a little bit more, the rationale why it is what it is, I would hesitate to change that. If you're okay with that, I'll bring that back to you next time. Okay. The lake level is approximately 70%. I did wanted to give you the very latest information. I went on the internet this afternoon and it wasn't there. I couldn't get to it, so I don't know why, whether it was my computer or whatever, but that's about where we are. We did have a plant shutdown actually yesterday morning about between 3 and 5 o'clock in the morning. The chemical feed pump that provides coagulant to the water treatment process basically stopped, and all the water that processed through both basins was unusable. We had to shut the plant down. We had an increase in state water planned for that day because we were going to do preventive maintenance on a different pump. And since the plant went down, we could get more state water. The operators took care of just shutting it down completely, doing both pumps at the same time, and I believe it was back online late last night. They were working at it about 5 o'clock when I left there. So it didn't cause any problems. We did have a higher turbidity at the time, nothing that was in violation as far as we know right now. The the Department of Health Services was notified, and it was taken care of, but that was fairly significant.
Dean, if I may, does that plant shut itself down, or is it just an alarm and then?
No, there was an alarm, and the operator shut it down. Yes. Uh-huh. The flow we're producing before that and now is about 4.5 MGD. I believe it's about 1.5 MGD of state water. This is after we turn it back on again, and about 3 of the plant, a little bit over 2.5 of the plant capacity process. And I think I've got another item, but I'll bring that up with the plant upgrade because it does kind of affect the operations. It's a fairly significant item, not for a long discussion, but just something that we thought about with the plant upgrade, and I'll bring that up a little bit later. That's the end of my report.
Okay. Members, any questions, concerns? All right, Dean, another good report. Okay, let's move right along now to old business, and I see you got the member nameplates.
I wanted to expand a little bit. At our last meeting, it was suggested, since I believe we were at Grover Beach, the layout of the room was a little bit different, and we got into discussion about providing permanent nameplates so they could be seen well by the camera and seen from different directions depending on where the cameras were, and maybe Bob can talk a little bit about that. But I said that I would take on the task of finding what font, how big, et cetera. Basically, the short story is each nameplate, to have it permanently done, would be about $20 plus tax. There would be 7 of them, unless you want some for staff. So that would be about $150 or so. I thought your board would want to consider that to see if you wanted to spend that. But Bob, you have?
I have no other details. I'm here to take recommendations. Nancy is working on this project, and so I don't know any more details than that. But
I think it's imperative that staff have those as well. You know, members of the public, as they see this, they might want to be able to.
One of the advantages of the angle 10 card is for the camera view, and so we can, you know, in this room, it is not as much of a problem, but in Pismo, Grover Beach, and Oceano, it does have points where we are off to the sides for some camera angles. And so Nancy and I came up with this angled idea, and so we're going to experiment with this. We're going to review it on our tape to see how it does, and we'll report back to Dean on what our findings are as far as that process goes.
Okay, good, Bob. Thanks. I suppose that what we could do now, though, is we could entertain approving that dollar amount or up to that dollar amount in order to, so we don't have to make this a bureaucratic process for nameplates, right?
The discussion, the sample that Mr. Dahl has is something I believe AGP did, and we couldn't get a permanent one done as a sample in time, but basically it'd be that size and a two-sided type of thing. And that, but the cost is for a unit like that. I don't know if that includes a stand or that's extra, but I would recommend if your committee could approve $200, not over that, we could take care of it.
Does that have a name on the other side, Bob?
Yeah. It has. It's basically a name on both sides of the tent card. I'm using the word tent card here; it's not really appropriate, but it is something that we find that is very useful for not only video angles, but for people that are sitting in the audience at different angles. So who do we present them to, the audience or to the council? So,
well, I'd like to buy advertising space on the back.
And if you'd like to have a different someone else's name on the other side, we could probably arrange that too.
There you go. Absolutely.
Yes, it's or your own name, so you just in case you forget.
I'll sell you advertising space on the back of mine.
There you go. There you go.
Plenty of room for stickers.
Well, is there any discussion from the board on that?
Yeah, I move approval.
Okay, and that approval is for the $200 figure that.
It is.
Okay, I have a motion.
Second.
I have a second from Oceano. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. Thank you very, very much. Straith, propose 0607 budget. And I want to thank you very much for getting me that copy.
You're welcome.
I've gone through it. I hate it.
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I hate budgets. I mean, some people are good at some things and some are just terrible at other things. And I struggle with them.
Good evening, Advisory Committee members. For the record, my name is Straith Smith-Zanartu with County Public Works. Tonight, I will be presenting an overview of the Flood Control Zone 3 2006-2007 budget. Tonight's presentation will encompass these three categories, and it should last about 5 minutes. I will go through the budgeting processes involved, give you an overview of the 06-07 budget, and answer any questions after the presentation. But if you do have a question that can't wait, please do let me know. The budget review process has 4 steps, which are as follows. First, the advisory committee met on January 19th, where Public Works staff distributed the 2006-2007 budget books. Next, in February, Public Works staff met with the technical advisory committee members and the finance committee members of Arroyo Grande, Pismo Beach, Grover Beach, and Oceano CSD, where we reviewed the budget. We discussed some of the line items in the budget, as well as various financing options for the Lopez Water Treatment Plant Upgrade Project. We are now returning the process to your board for your endorsement. On June 19th through the 21st, the Board of Supervisors will have their budget hearings where the county budgets, including the Flood Control Zone 3 budget, are reviewed and approved. Sorry, this pad isn't working very well. The next slide. There we go. This is a new schedule in the book. The budget book this year, due to a request made by your board last year. This exhibit is a recap of the proposed 2006-2007 billings in comparison to 2005-2006. Overall, expenditures have increased 32%, which is primarily due to the addition of 2 new water system worker positions, which are required at a minimum for the operation of the newly upgraded plant. Total operations and maintenance has increased 22%. Debt service has increased 7%, which is due primarily to the additional state revolving fund loan expense on the Lopez Water Treatment Plant Upgrade Project. Capital outlay, the total project costs, proposed costs, are $580,000 of which is the security perimeter fence budgeted line item. We have applied for Prop 50 funding on this item, but will not know the status of the award until later on in fiscal year 06-07. If it is approved for funding, your agencies will not be billed. I realize that the proposed budget has increased from years prior, but this increase is in line with our projected billing estimates, which we have provided annually. This slide gives an update on the financing option scenario for the Lopez Water Treatment Plant upgrade. In order to change our current financing path, which is the state revolving fund loan, the change would need to be based on unanimous consent. As one of the agencies has already indicated that they wish to continue with this state revolving fund loan funding, we would recommend that if any of your agencies prefer to go with longer financing, that this be pursued on an individual agency basis. I'm sorry about this equipment. Okay, this concludes my report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time. Yeah, it feels like it. Sorry.
Going on with the process and not going out for a longer term.
Yes, when I met with the Finance Committee members of all of the agencies, they were in favor of continuing with the state revolving fund loan because of the economic benefits.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm. Just to follow up on that, you mentioned AG had given their approval. Is there a formal approval from each of the agencies that you're expecting, or what? Why did you mention that with AG?
We gave, or maybe I should have Will Clemens from the audience from County Public Works answer that question. Thank you.
Sure.
I had requested that the council be briefed on the options.
Mm. Hey, Will.
Hello. Will Clemens, County Public Works, and Joe answered my question for me.
I see. So just build on that a little bit. Joe requested the county make a presentation to the council, which you did, and
correct. And he was just looking for feedback from his council on mm-hmm. on what they felt was the best, mm-hmm. and they were unanimous in their feelings that the SRF made the most sense.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I think I'd be more comfortable personally with my finance director coming forward, primarily is because of the some of the investments and things that we have made, maybe. So that's what I'll intend to do. All right, good. Stray, thank you very much. Thanks, Will.
Did you want an endorsement on this budget tonight?
Yes.
Okay. You want it on the budget and on what?
Just the budget.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Well, quite frankly, Mr. Chairman, I would like to have a chance to talk with my... I've never had a conversation with our finance department about this. There's been some discussions, but not in detail. It's been in very broad terms. I'd like very much to have that opportunity to talk with him about it.
You know, I understand that very much. I don't think we'll meet again before June, though, will we?
Yeah.
We'll meet in May.
Oh, we'll meet in May.
Would we need a special meeting if we don't approve it tonight?
Many years ago, there wasn't quite as good a review process as we have today. And due to feedback from the Flood Control Zone 3 Advisory Committee, that's when we began the process of, and perhaps for the newer members of the committee, it might be good that in January we hand out the budgets and give them to you. Then in February we usually meet with the finance directors and the technical advisory committee to review the budget. And the hope is that those members of the technical advisory, the finance committee, would present you with any concerns they might have with the budget, and that way we could discuss them in the March meeting as we are tonight. So I'm hoping that since if you didn't have any conversations with your finance directors, it was the fact that there wasn't anything significant that they were concerned about. So that's really why we have the process. We're asking for the endorsement tonight, as we usually do in March, but if you'd like to continue it until May, it shouldn't do anything to the process unless we have significant changes in May. It might cause a little bit of last-minute... I think what it would do is actually... It would be too late for us to get any changes in the supplemental document that goes to our Board of Supervisors. So,
yeah, but Will, isn't everything pretty much set on a cost-plus basis at this present time in the budget? The numbers are pretty solid anyway, correct?
They could be changed at this point in time. If there was something that everyone didn't want to pay for, we could pull it out of the budget at this point. Because we usually prepare the final document that goes to the board in early May. So if we met in May and there were no changes, it wouldn't do anything to the budget. But if there were changes that needed to be made, perhaps a special meeting would be more appropriate to get it in time to submit along the county's timetable.
Mr. Chair, can I make a recommendation then that we take this up individually with our individual finance directors, and if there is a problem, that we call for a special meeting.
But I really feel like it's important that I compare notes with our finance director and our manager before I make that final determination. So I think Joe's suggestion is a good one in that light.
All right. Do I have consensus from the board?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks, Will. That's our plan.
Mr. Chairman, yes. I think Jim will concur with this. A few years ago, we got the budget at 7 o'clock, and we were expected to approve it at 8 o'clock, you know. And this has been probably a 10-year process to get this communications in the position it is today. So thank you, Will. It's working good, I think.
Yeah, I do as well.
Yes, it's a lot better than the days when we used to read about approval of the budget by the Board of Supervisors and yeah. then have it presented.
Yeah. There you go. All right, let's move along to the plant upgrade status. Dean?
Yes, I've included in your packet on the, should be the last page, it's a fold-out. It should be color. If it's not, I apologize. The processing wasn't quite right here, but this is a first, I guess a draft, but it's sort of a status report of the progress of the plant upgrade. I realize that the progress schedule is a little bit difficult to read there. I'll give you a pretty quick summary of it, and then I'll go through this just briefly. The large picture is that we are, as of today, with approved change orders, about 22% of the time the contractor is allotted is passed, and billing is about 16%. That time frame versus billing discrepancy doesn't include about 3 weeks of anticipated time extension because of some delays in underground utility and some piping changes that were made that were necessary to continue to have us make water with our existing facilities. And I'm guessing probably 10 or 12 rain days that have not been included in the contract yet. So those will be extended out. The schedule summary that you see there provides the time frames. It's current as of now as far as legal time extensions. You see authorized time extensions at zero. You see a good number there, $88,000 of credit for approved change orders. We just resident engineer. Basically, there's what has been done to date is the underground utilities for the site, the cable, I call them wire utilities, have pretty much been installed. There's large duct banks that are being installed. The two pictures that you see there, the one on the left is a large vault that's been installed for an effluent line, and the one on the right is for a membrane underneath the membrane foundation, a pipe gallery. Right now they are doing foundation work for both the membrane building and for the administration building. Those are the two main buildings on the site, and there was a request by a couple of members to maybe have one of the meetings this summer out at the site. And if the timing works out, I'm kind of thinking, I've discussed it with the staff out there, maybe to have the meeting inside the membrane building before all the stuff covers it all up. But I think there would be an area to do that if you'd like. So it was discussed possibly having a field trip and a sort of a site visit at the same time we do a meeting on the same day, and maybe having a barbecue or light dinner or something out there also. So I'll bring that back to you as I get a little bit closer with it. The construction's going well. It is a remodel, and it's an underground, and it's with an existing plant that's operating, and our operators have been working very well, we think, with Cushman to get things done. Cushman's been suggesting ideas to save money, save time, make things work right so that we don't make it more difficult on our operators. And one of those items that's fairly significant that's come up that I'm having Lou Corella look at right now is we have a split flow period in the contract, and the split flow period means that we have two trains of water processing. The split flow is when we do the split flow, which is supposed to happen this winter, one of those trains would go down permanently, and the water that would normally be processed through that one train would go through the new membrane system. We'd basically be putting raw water through our new membrane system. And that would mean that the operating train would provide up to 3 MGD. The new membrane system, which is ultimately the permanent system, would also be providing 3 MGD if we needed that. Obviously, it'd be somewhat less than that. it appears that it may be possible for us to not do that split flow event. There's a lot of issues associated with dual chemical feeds through two different systems, one raw water, one treated, testing those waters at different points. If things start to go out of balance, which water is out of balance? How do you connect them? There's a lot of issues that we have concerns about, the contractors express concerns about, and we can't give firm answers until we kind of get through this process. So, as I said, we're investigating preliminarily completely not doing the split flow system, and only in instead of doing split flow, basically trying to get state water to the point that we can provide up to 3 MGD of state water and simultaneously just use the one remaining train that we have. It would eliminate a lot of issues and potential, and I believe a lot of things that we don't even know would happen yet that we'd have to pay extra for, installing additional ports and problems with the system and operations. One of the things it would also do is, if we could do that, it would extend the time we don't need to start a 24-hour-a-day on-staff operations staff. Over the last month or so, we've had Black & Veatch is preparing a report to go to Department of Health Services to get a revised permit for the membrane system. We have a permit now to operate the filtration system. We're going to be working with DHS, and we'll be meeting with them in a couple of weeks to go over our proposed plan. DHS has to issue us a revised permit for that. Part of that revised permit is for the split flow temporary system, because the permanent system is all membrane with dissolved air flotation pretreatment and the full-on system the way we intend to run it, without the old water system. So we basically have to get two permits with the current planning of the plant upgrade construction. If we can do one, it simplifies that also. We just think there's a lot of benefits in that, and we'll be working with that to see if there's any, at this point, fatal flaws. And the operators have told me that it looks like it's workable at this point. We don't have to anticipate pumping that much water. What it would mean is, if this worked out, we normally have a state water shutdown in November, sometime for maybe 2 weeks. The idea would be that we would try to, well, we would have to work with CAWAO, the water agency, to make sure that there was as certain as they could provide state water. If we could only make 3 MGD with the one train, knowing our second train was down, we'd rely on the balance of state water for the period after the shutdown. So I'm anticipating something, so we know if state water shut back that we wouldn't be short of water starting in April, or, you know, something worse, push us into May or June or something because the contractor says, oh, well, I thought I could, but I can't. So we're looking at those things to see what kind of guarantees we would need. We probably introduce some additional liquidated damages for our own peace of mind, and see what the agencies would say about that. And our operators will be probably contacting your operators to make sure that if that happens, what kind of contingency plans would be workable. I personally think it probably save us several hundred thousand dollars for things we don't even know we would have to do with this split flow thing. So that's a sort of an initial report about that to you. I'll bring you more when we find out from Lou and from the operations staff.
Any questions of any of the board members? Discussion on that? Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. Dean, how long are you anticipating? It seems you're talking about maybe 6 months for the split flow.
I believe the split flow was about 4 months, four-month period. Yes.
I think that probably everyone in an emergency would have the ability to pump a little extra groundwater if that needed to be. I think there can be some arrangement made that way. Because if we can get by without spending a couple hundred thousand dollars and maybe making something else happen, it might be worth looking at that possibility too.
Absolutely. I appreciate that comment, because if there are some contingency plans we could put in place to do this, I just think there's some things in there we just haven't been able to count all of the little things that would happen in this split flow period. So that would be
that's great, Tom. That's a good suggestion.
Yeah,
absolutely. Any other? Yes,
Dean, when you talk about potential savings of several hundred thousands of dollars of expenses we don't know about.
Yes.
Obviously, these are unbudgeted expenses that might come up.
Right now, they'd be included in the contingencies that we have for the plant upgrade. So we're just trying to keep a real tight handle on anything that's coming to us. And I do have to say that Chris Besser from Montgomery Watson is just doing as much as you could possibly imagine to save you guys money. So,
Any other questions? I don't remember in the discussions, and that doesn't mean much, about the Department of Health Services. Is that a state or a county body?
It's a state body.
And they have approved these membrane technologies before? I mean, this isn't something new that is going to...
...with the Department of Public Works, Environmental Division. I can report to you that the HCP is moving forward on numerous fronts. As you'll recall, over the past several months, we've had a little bit of a split emphasis. The consultants have been on the project for a number of years were moving ahead, responding to comments and requests from the agencies. The staff has been focusing on the interim release plan, including the, I can't remember what to call it, the low reservoir response plan, and we made progress on all fronts. From the consultant side, the analysis of the National Marine Fisheries Service's request to analyze different flow regimes was completed and is on its way to that agency. I hope to have a report at the TAC next month on the details of that result. We had some draft stuff last week, but their meeting ran long, so they deferred it. But it appears that there is some common ground between the preferred alternative in the HCP and at least the center of three regimes that National Marine Fisheries asked us to analyze. I can't guarantee that they'll agree with that, but it does demonstrate that there's consistency in thinking between our fisheries experts and the federal government, so hopefully that'll loosen them up a little bit to start looking deeper into the document as to how we're actually going about achieving that. We did get the comment response or response letter from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. You recall they asked us to change the document into a format that was more familiar to their agency. We used the format in their handbook, and then they've since changed the format without revising the handbook. So we rearranged all of the information. That's generated a mostly uncomplimentary letter on their part, but it does finally get down to brass tacks and start to reveal what their issues may or may not be with our proposal. So when I read the letter, I'm not terribly happy, but at the same time, I realize that there are not many issues of substance contained in it. So there's an opportunity there to start moving ahead with them. A couple of rough spots we'll have to work past, but I think we have the information and answers. So the burden on us to produce additional technical analysis is really quite low, which is a good thing. With that, National Marine Fisheries success with comparing our alternatives to theirs and with Fish and Wildlife coming up with their issues, we'll probably be seeing a transition from the work effort being primarily consultants developing technical information, and will come back to the staff and the TAC to be more of a staff effort in negotiations and information exchange rather than developing scientific data. So I expect we have some new folks over there on the issues of measuring devices, the ability to measure what's happening in the stream and relate that to what's happening in our releases from the dam, which is an important consideration. And we've gotten some good feedback from them, from their new folks. So I now have a budget or some budget estimates for what it's going to cost to add two stream gauges and automate two other ones. It's higher than I anticipated, but I think there's a method that we'll be able to spread those costs out over 2 years and not affect our program. And I'll have the details of that hopefully at our next meeting. So that's moving ahead. Looks like it's going to work well. We've done some analysis of historic inflows and outflows of the reservoir and compared those to the release regime that we currently have, 6 cubic feet per second, 4 million gallons a day. When we compare those numbers along with the municipal deliveries and evaporation and all of that, we're in better shape than we thought we were as far as being able to maintain the reservoir and the municipal deliveries in the long term. Gives us a little bit of breathing room, although we're still focusing on the interim adjustments, which is to reduce the wintertime storm releases to gain at least an additional 500 acre feet a year in the reservoir. And those kinds of numbers will affect the low reservoir response plan, which, as you recall, is the idea to develop a scenario or a suite of actions that we would take should the reservoir fall to, I believe we're still sticking with the 20,000 acre foot level. So a lot of stuff happening. We're hopeful that we can do a full presentation to the TAC at their next meeting if they have time on the agenda,
and then based on their comments, revise that and present it to your board.
Good. I think it's important that it be presented to them. And I personally don't look at as if they have time on their agenda. They need to hear this. So that's my thought on that. Any questions? Yes.
With regard to the response from the resource agencies, are they still pressing for adding endangered or threatened species?
Fish and Wildlife has asked, you recall we reported back that they had brought up the idea of adding the tidewater goby, which has been found in the lagoon and lower parts of the creek, to the plan. We indicated to them that we would submit the revised plan without that information and get their comments on the balance before we start adding all kinds of stuff. In their response letter, they questioned that again, but then they provided the methodology and said, either, you know, we'd like you to add it, but if you don't add it, please answer these specific questions as to why you're not adding it. So now we operate the dam in a way that harms them, and we don't have permit coverage. There's every evidence in the HCP to indicate that there would be no way that that preferred alternative would harm the species. Not to say that in a prolonged drought, their habitat might not dry up, but under our operating schedule, that clearly would not be an issue with the releases from the dam.
Well, in a severe drought, we're going to dry up too. So, yeah.
Is October still a realistic goal for the interim release plan?
Yes. That continues to be our goal, and our confidence level is starting to rise somewhat.
Very good. Okay. Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm. Mark, do you recall what the lowest level of the lake has ever been since we had it full and started taking it down along in the mid-90s?
I have that in the file, but it's around 16,000 acre-feet of storage, which is about, well, minimum pool is still 4,000.
There was only one time that it reached that low point, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Before you leave, at the last meeting, there was some discussion, and I think you raised the issue about meeting with the legislative representatives.
Oh, yes.
I believe our chairman offered to participate in that. Has anything occurred along those lines?
As you recall, your committee suggested that, in addition to Mr. Rabinal, that we solicit volunteers from the Technical Advisory Committee. The idea being that two volunteers, and that since Mr. Rabinal is from Pismo Beach, other agencies should be represented. We brought that up to the TAC. Again, it was a smaller than average group. There was some sideways glances, and then they unanimously nominated Mr. Spagnolo from Arroyo Grande, who wasn't present at the time. But we've since contacted him, and he's agreed that he would very much like to attend a meeting like that.
Good.
And we did need to clarify that we would probably be meeting with federal representatives because those, it is federal agencies that we're dealing with. Nothing is that yet scheduled. Timing's important on that with what the legislators are doing. Of course, we hope they'll be in their California offices when we meet with them. But also, we want to be able to point to specific issues with the agencies if those should arise.
Now your lobbyist...
All of them have local offices or offices in the state with local staff people. We had an opportunity to bring the topic up to Lois Capps' representative, which we did, and he's very much interested in being kept up to speed. And that's typically the tack, is you want to get them fully up to speed, especially their staffs up to speed on what's going on, and then at the appropriate time meet with those legislators to... try to get their support for our goals, and also so that they're fully informed should there be an issue where we would need their help to request that an agency maybe follow the guidelines a little bit closer and stick a little closer to timelines. It's typically the things that come up.
I just like to add a couple of comments. I recently had an opportunity to spend a little time with the field representatives from Feinstein's office and Schwarzenegger's office, and they raised the issue about, or the issue came up about permitting through these various federal and state agencies and what type of problems that represented. And I took the opportunity to mention this particular project as an example of both good and bad points and how the process can work. And they seemed, at least, they were expressing that they were quite concerned about making sure that local agencies and entities like ours are getting appropriate responses from the different agencies. And it occurred to me during this conversation that this is an election year, and there seems to be a lot more empathy and sympathy towards the local agencies right now than there are at other times of year. And that made me think maybe we should be really taking advantage of that. And if there's some way that we can, I guess, plan our contacts in a manner that makes it come on board pretty quickly so that there's some, so it fits within that time frame, I think it'd be to our advantage.
My experience has been that it can be a phenomenal advantage, sometimes
yeah.
Shockingly so. But I think we're poised potentially to be right in there in the correct window.
It does appear representatives to come here and meet with us here, meet with you here. And that might even be possible if the timing's right.
I think it probably is. Timing-wise, and certainly as possible.
And knowing Larry like I do, he got their home phone numbers.
I do have their numbers, but I'd just like to say, Mr. Chairman, if there's any way that I can help you in that,
please,
I'd be more than happy to.
Good. I'm glad
Thanks,
to know
Mark.
That. Okay, anything else? Mark, thank you very much. Good report. Okay, let's see, where are we now? Domestic tank rehab contract. That's this thing, 50,000 gallons.
Yes. I'm not sure of the date, but I believe in a 2000, fiscal year 2001, 2002, which would have been the fall of 2001, first there was budgeted a rehab of a 50,000-gallon welded steel tank that provides domestic water to the Lopez Water Treatment Plant site. The tank is up on the hill farthest. You can't see it, really, except from the neighbor's property, and it provides water to all the plant buildings, local hose bibs, sort of miscellaneous water around the site, not large volume because it's only 50,000 gallons, and it provides the two residences with water there. That project was initially approved, as I said, in 2001. It went out to bid about a month ago. Bids were opened on February 21st. Bids are good, excuse me, February 23rd, I believe. Bids were good for 30 days. I brought this up at the TAC meeting earlier this month, and there was some unhappiness about the cost of the cost of rehabbing an existing 50,000-gallon tank. And I think a lot of that comes from sort of a rule of thumb that how much does it cost to build a new water tank? If it's a 5-million-gallon tank, it costs 50 cents a gallon. If it's a very small tank, there's still the same amount of work. You got to paint it, you got to mobilize, et cetera, et cetera. So there was some concern from a couple of the folks that the cost we were spending was outrageous. So we were asked to go back and look at those costs, figure out what they were, and bring a recommendation back. Because of the bid date and the time we have to accept the bid, it has been put on the Board of Supervisors agenda for next Tuesday to approve the contract. I believe that's been done. The tank is 37 years old now. I believe that's how old the plant was, and it was built at the same time. The steel on the tank is in very, very good shape. We do also have a tank in Cayucas, and that tank we need to take down and replace. That tank, the roof is ready to fall in on that tank in Cayucas. It's on the coast, a lot different in here. We spent some time evaluating whether we should keep that tank, whether we could combine that tank in a wash water tank. There's a 300,000-gallon wash water tank on the site that provides water for the filtration process. We won't need that for that filtration process in the future. However, we don't have any fire flow water. We don't have significant fire flow water on that site. part of the project management costs and design costs that were done included evaluating, well, can we combine some tanks? Can we buy some pumps, some booster pump stations to use the wash water tank, which has a potable water tank? We have some problems because that large of a volume, 300,000 gallons of a wash water tank, if water sits in there longer than 4 or 5 days, the chloramines turn into ammonia and we have a potable water problem that doesn't work. Then we got to provide another system to clean that water up again. We looked at pumping water for fire flow out of the reservoir with a fire flow pump and of diesel, and costs keep adding up. So we did kind of evaluate different options. I just mention all that because there is significant expenditures of project management. It's been going on from 2001. I know in consulting, you can't make money on a project from a bid if you spend a long time on it. You got to get it done and you got to do it. This has been a while doing it. I can tell you that there's been several long-term projects that I, in fact, designed when I was in design, and in utilities that we actually got done. They've been sitting around for 10 or 12 years. And I think this is the last long-term one that we're getting done. But we've spent that. I say all that to basically say that we've spent $83,000 to date. The bid we got was $109,000. We got three bids. One was $109,000. One was, I believe, $111,000. The third bid was $130,000. So we think the prices are fair. It's a lot more than we thought. The budget adjustment that we've asked for, including the board's letter, I believe includes about $80,000 to get it up to the grand total that we show there, $265,000. So that's our recommendation, is to let that go. As it is, I prepared itemization. A 50,000-gallon tank should cost you $100,000. It doesn't. It just doesn't cost. We found that our processing, administration, coordination, permitting, inspection costs for smaller projects are running at least almost 100% of construction cost, and that's terrible. But we haven't found a way to make those things work. They're very, very difficult for small projects to get done in a cost-efficient fashion. So my recommendation again is that we leave the item on next week's Board of Supervisors agenda. We try to bring this back to you and explain why we've done what we've done. If we go back and do more analysis, I just don't think we're going to come up with a better solution for now.
I don't have any objections to that. Does anybody have any comment? All right. You got it. Let's move on to video meeting minutes.
I had suggested at our last meeting to Vice Chairman Gehring that we consider using the video minutes. I get a disc of every meeting from AGP, and I was suggesting that we discuss, instead of me typing up notes, which sometimes are not exactly right, as Straith pointed out to me with an email, that, and then the time that I invest in bringing them back to you, which I don't mind doing, but that it might be more beneficial, as most agencies, the Board of Supervisors, et cetera, do. They don't do written minutes, but they have a video or some type of recording of it. Now, I wasn't able to get our attorney to tell me if that's legal or how we can do that with a Brown Act committee, and he wants a formal correspondence requesting that I process that request. So I don't have that back to you yet, but I wanted you to entertain, and I know you have been involved in this for quite a while, and maybe you know what the legality and the issues may be problematic with having a video recording versus having a written minutes. There is a cost. I should probably let Bob explain it because I don't quite understand it, but I believe that they can archive these minutes on a website. There is a significant cost to doing that per year, but I haven't got all the details of it yet.
I apologize. I cannot speak to the cost of that, and because I wasn't involved in the negotiations of that aspect, but I can tell you the technical aspects of it. We not only do a video recording, which is DVD and VHS for as well. So there is some precedence as far as the DVD being a permanent record. I believe one of the cities we do that for, and I can't recall which one of you guys we do it for, but we do it for the city as well, or for a city as well. As far as the county goes, the county does do their own minutes for their supervisors and planning commission meetings, but the video archive is also for school board and health commission is all is done by video record now as well. So there is precedence as far as that process goes. As far as the dollar cost, again, I can't speak to that because I don't know what was discussed, but if you have any questions, I can answer.
Well, to me, it seems extremely efficient. You know, I'll watch this at least once prior to our next meeting. I don't have a problem with him moving forward on that at all. So does anybody have a...
Normally, these minutes are supposed to be kept for long durations of time for people to have access to. Mm-hmm. And all the... talk that I've heard within trainings and so that I've gone to is you need some kind of paper minute as well, because and we can go to just like a action minutes and reduce the amount of minutes down quite a bit that way. Mm-hmm. But you have changes in technology, and as technology changes, if you continue with some kind of medium like that, then you're going to have to provide a way to read that those minutes to people. And you look over the last 50 years or so of technology, and you've had, before you had tape recorders, you had wire recorders. Many people don't even know about those. Then you had reel-to-reel, and then you had cassette, and then you had 8-track, and you, same thing with your video. You had betas and VHS, and now you got DVDs. And if we have to find out legally if we're going to have to provide those type of mediums to read, you know, those type of equipment to read these minutes for people that want to see the minutes of the committee.
Well, I didn't realize we had to keep them that long.
I don't know.
I know that we keep the audio minutes for a year. That's what, I don't even know where I found that out from. But
well, I think we should probably find out what's the legal standard.
Let's find out what it is.
I'll get back to you on that, and if I can,
I think accomplish that. If I'm a little old fashioned.
But you could also get a copy of the DVD and just watch that. You know, refresh your memory with all the emotion and satirism and everything else that goes into it.
If that's what the committee wants to do, that'd be fine. If you'll provide copies to the members that want them. I don't have a problem with that either.
Yeah. All right. So why don't you just research that for us, Dean, and maybe next meeting you'll have some more info. Okay. New business. We have none scheduled. Account committee members' comments. Tom Runnels?
Nothing, Mr. Chairman.
Joe?
Nothing.
Nothing? And I have nothing as well. The next regularly scheduled meeting is Thursday, May 18th at 6:30 p.m. in the Pismo Beach City Council Chambers. This meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Cool. Good job.
Painless.